Hello, and welcome to episode 119 of Dots, Lines, and Destinations. It is Thursday, September 15th, 2016. I'm Stephen C. Graves, today joined by Foz Mahmood. Hey, Foz.
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good. Seth is... He recorded the special episode for us from Cuba, and so we decided we'd give him a break. Yeah, that's what we'll say. Yeah, he doesn't have to record this week.
We have a PTO policy?
Yeah, mandatory.
Huh?
Yeah, it's unlimited, but we make you take 2 weeks.
Perfect. Do I get a sabbatical after 5 years?
Yeah, a short one.
No, oh, okay. 5 days?
Five days. Yeah, sabbatical. Then you're back to work. Where are you at? You're in Vegas, right?
I'm in Vegas. I'm at the Vidara Hotel and Casino. Or I don't know if it's a casino. I know it's a hotel. I don't know if it's a casino.
I've never heard of that one, Vidara.
It's in City Center. It's next to Aria.
Oh, okay.
Nice. So it's supposedly a pretty, I mean, it's a, the rooms are pretty nice. It's swanky, that's for sure. I had to figure out how to get my M Life, my Hyatt M Life status all working. That was an adventure, so I could, don't have to pay for parking.
Good times.
One cool thing is they were able to print me a new card at the front desk during check-in.
Wow, that's cool. I didn't know they could do that.
Neither did I.
Well, it's everybody staying at Hyatts recently. You know, Seth was here in Portland. He stayed at a Hyatt house. So,
did he stay at the same one I stayed at last time?
You stayed at it by the airport, right?
Yeah.
No, he stayed at. There's a new one they built and near downtown.
Oh, okay. It was
nice, swanky. So
very cool.
Yeah. So our dot today is going to be a little different. We're going to talk about an airplane as the dot. The 787.
A moving dot.
A moving. Yeah, it moves. Yeah, it's like a moving target. The 787. What?
Just not a laser pointer.
Yeah, just don't point a laser at it. Yeah. The 787 from ANA. ANA was the launch customer of the 787, and they have announced that they're going to be replacing 100 engines on the 787s, which by my calculations is the entire fleet.
Wait, did they say they were actually replacing them, or they were considering replacing them? Because when I read it, it was considering replacing them.
No, I mean, they have like hard set plans now to replace all 100 Rolls-Royce engines on its 50 Dreamliners.
So, I mean, this is bad for Rolls-Royce because they've had problems with the Trent engines on the 777s. They've had problems with the A380 engines, and now they're having problems with the 78 engines. So really, have they made a decent engine since the RB211 on the 75s?
It doesn't feel like it.
No.
Like, I mean, the 75 engine has been a very reliable engine that the airlines love.
Yeah. Everybody loves that engine. It's like, you know, except maintenance people because it's a little more complicated than most other engines.
Yeah. So what's going on with these things is that they are having some corrosion that's caused by the chemicals in the atmosphere, which seems like a problem for something that flies.
Details.
So they've been having to do a bunch of cancellations because of these. They canceled about 18 flights, and they had two diversions recently out of Kuala Lumpur and Hanoi. And so they're going to replace the engines. They'll be upgraded with new turbine blades, and they're working with Rolls-Royce to find kind of like a permanent solution. So,
and I think three of them are grounded right now, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. It's definitely a problem. I'm wondering if any of the U.S. carriers will have a similar issue.
Well, nobody has 50 of them right now.
True.
And nobody's fleet is as old as ANA's right now.
Yeah.
And let's see, I don't know what engines American got, but United got the GE engines.
So maybe they're not as prone to this issue.
Right.
I don't know who else got Rolls-Royce engines. We'd have to look that up.
But, I mean, what's interesting to me is that they're talking about replacing them with non-Rolls-Royce engines. And generally, the plane is pretty much fitted for the particular brand of engine. So they have to go through a retrofit process to put someone else's engine on the wing.
Yeah. Yeah, I think – I wonder what they would do then in this case because they – I mean, I guess they could put new wing mounts or something and refit them. They basically have to go back to the factory. Or not the factory, but they have to go back to maintenance, heavy maintenance.
Yeah. It's a pretty substantial thing to do.
Yeah. I'm trying to find here how many – who else has the – Air New Zealand, I think, has the Trent. Who else? They might be the only other one. Huh.
Because I don't think after the 777 problems, not a lot of people have been signing up for Rolls-Royce engines.
Yeah. I mean, because they've had issues. Like one of them suffered an uncontained turbine failure back in 2010 on a 787. And that was Narita to Hong Kong. And so there's been like issues ever since then that popped up. So yeah, it's kind of strange. The other thing we were going to talk about is a bunch of new 787 routes.
Oh, I'm going to interject for a second.
Okay.
I can at least tell you why ANA picked the Rolls-Royce engine.
Oh, I would like to know that.
Because a Rolls-Royce partnered with Kawasaki and Mitsubishi.
Ah.
And I'm sure it had a lot to do with Japanese pride.
Gotcha. So they wanted to use a Japanese engine or someone who had partnered with Japanese companies.
Yep. Because it was just like the 78, it was a revenue sharing ecosystem for the Trent 1000.
Gotcha. Makes sense. The 787 routes, you had a whole list of them for me before the show.
Yeah, it's 787 Palooza. let's see. I know recently United is now removing 78s into Dulles. So Paris Dulles is going to a 788. And I think there was something else I'm blanking on what the other one was. American is switching Dallas-Seoul and Dallas-Paris to 789s.
Wow.
They're doing Chicago-Barcelona with a 788.
When do they get their 789s?
I think they already have one.
Oh, okay.
But I don't think it's flying yet, but I think they already have one.
Interesting. So they're planning this. What they're doing is they're planning on switching those routes that they have out of DFW to a 789 from, I think they were 76s, right?
Actually, I think they're both 777s. I know that Seoul is definitely a 772ER, and I think Paris was a 772ER as well.
Gotcha. Yeah, and this is going to have the premium economy product on it, right? Like their new premium economy?
Right.
Will they have F? Or are they just doing C now? I think they're only
C. I think the only thing that's going to have F is a 77Ws, and they do not have their first 789 yet. So they'll probably be getting it in the next few weeks.
Gotcha.
But what's interesting to me is that they're putting it on, like, why Paris? That's the one that I didn't understand. Because you would think that they might consider doing something like Tokyo, which is a much more, you know, a high-end market, particularly from DFW.
Yeah, but do they need the – what are they doing to Tokyo today, a 772?
Yeah.
I mean, how many more seats are there on the 772? Yeah,
but the 772 is a god-awful product.
Yeah, they still have, that's true.
Most of them haven't been retrofitted yet.
It's true. Yeah, I see what you're saying. You're saying, let's go with a new C product.
Yeah.
And I'm
curious to see – I don't know which seat product they're going to end up putting on it because they're not doing the seats they were doing on the 78s.
Yeah, yeah. Like, what new product are they going to use?
Yeah.
Interesting. Are they getting theirs fitted in at Boeing, or are they fitting them when they get them taken delivery? Do you know?
I do not know.
Yeah.
I do know that they. I mean, since we're talking about American, they just started releasing, or they just announced their plans for the 75 international 75 retrofits, and they're using the Continental seat.
Sans IFE.
Yes, sans IFE. Well, they don't have IFE on the 76s either.
I know.
Or Wi-Fi.
We were talking about that. Like that. I think that it's funny that their domestic product, which uses the United seat, the original United seat, right? Their domestic business class product for the Transcon. So on the 321Ts,
yep.
That it has TVs in that has an IFE system. But then they're not going to do that for the international fleet. Are they going to do tablets again?
They're doing tablets again. Their logic is that they're getting rid of the 75s and 76s in the next few years, so they're just cheaping out.
Wow.
Which, you know, I'll give it to you on the IFE, but the Wi-Fi thing just befuddles me.
Yeah, I mean, because now you can do those. I mean, those kits already exist. They don't have to, like, do a new, FAA clearance for the antennas and stuff, so that doesn't make a lot of sense. And yeah, it's a moneymaker, right? I mean, you charge people for it.
Well, not only is it a moneymaker, but it also puts you at a competitive disadvantage.
Yeah, yeah.
When your other two competitors are doing it.
Which I guess we could talk about a little bit. Like, so Mr. Kirby, just left American and kind of made like a linear move to United, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think – I mean, it sounds like he was kind of just let go by American. It's very strange to have someone make a lateral move like this. And he had no non-compete, and yet they still paid him. They didn't have a severance package for him. They still paid him cash and lifetime flight privileges.
It was probably some – like the one thing I read was that Kirby has aspirations of moving up the chain. It was made clear that Doogie's not going anywhere.
And so they said, you can leave and we'll make sure you're happy.
Yep.
Well, man, I wish I had that job.
Seriously.
So do you think he's going to have a positive impact at United? I mean, he's kind of a penny pincher, right? I mean, he ended fuel hedging at American.
I think we're all screwed.
Tell us how you really feel, Foz.
I think we're all screwed. I mean, fortunately, I think Oscar still has a decent head on his shoulders. Yeah. And I think, you know, there's enough people at United who know what they're doing. As much as, you know, a lot of people believe that they do not, there are a lot of people at United who have a decent idea of where they need to go.
Yeah.
And they're you see the progress. It's slow. It's not as fast as anyone would like, but they are making progress. Things are getting better.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. So lines, we have a ton of them. I mean, we talked about dots, but part of this is that Delta is starting in Atlanta, Seoul.
Which I don't understand.
Because Korean already flies that route?
Korean flies that route, and they're in a tiff with Korean, so they can't really send onward traffic. They flew it for years, and they said it wasn't profitable.
But apparently it's profitable enough.
And what's surprising is they're putting an LR on it and not an ER.
I mean, what's the goal here, you think? You think that they're just going to try to snuff Korean out, or what?
I think that's exactly what it is.
And just hope Korean goes away?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, you're just escalating the battle because, you know, clearly they're losing the battle with Alaska, so they need to go pick a fight with someone else.
Man, we're bored with this fight. Let's go find another one.
Yeah, exactly. Where can we? Whose cheers can we go piss in today?
So with this though, I mean, do they not do connecting traffic in Seoul with Korean? Is it just not their partnership just isn't strong enough to do that, or are they doing that? And are they doing it on the flip side, like when Korean sends traffic to LA or Atlanta or JFK?
I think it's limited.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's, you know, I don't believe there's a JV in place, so there's no revenue, you know, it's just on a segment by segment basis.
Yeah.
Right. So it's not as lucrative because they're not getting any slice of the pie for the overwater portion.
Gotcha.
I don't know what to make of it. Like I saw that this morning. I'm like, this makes no sense.
I don't really get it. I think it's funny that Delta has a lot of tiffs with a lot of different airlines. And one of their other tiffs is this recently announced codeshare on JetBlue for the JFK Milan route that Emirates flies. So it's a similar thing to the Dulles Dubai flight that Emirates has, and JetBlue has had a number on it, and that allowed it to be used as a government GSA route. And so Delta was mad about that one, the Dulles Dubai one, and now they're mad about JFK Milan because it directly competes with him, correct?
Yes.
And I mean, maybe they have a little bit more of a case here because it does directly compete with him, or am I crazy?
Well, what's the case? You have a substandard product, so you're upset that people are picking another airline?
Okay. When you say it like that,
I mean, when you compare the Emirates product to the Delta product, you not only do you have to deal with this snooty, arrogant, painy-ass Delta staff at JFK, which could give two craps about how you feel or if you're going to make your flight or how that's going to be, but then you have to deal with the surly crew, and you know the onboard service isn't nearly as polished as Emirates.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And it's not like that's a super long flight either. What, 7.5 hours maybe?
7.5. It's like in the winter. It's like a 6-hour flight.
True, true. So, do you think that eventually Delta's just going to give up on that route? Do you think they'll stop flying JFK Milan?
I don't know if they will.
You think it's enough of a moneymaker for them to not do that?
I don't think – at the end of the day, I don't think they're going to – so they've lost the government business. They haven't – I mean, there's still some corporate base. Milan is the financial – you know, is where business is done. So there's still a need for business travel. I mean, but you've got Alitalia, you've got Delta, and you have American all flying out of JFK to Milan. And then you've got United flying Newark to Milan.
Yeah, it's a ton of lift, really, when I think about it. I mean, that's a lot of plane and a lot of seats going to Milan.
Well, and the lift keeps going up. Like United used to be a 762. It's a 777 now.
Yeah, it's crazy to me that there's that much. I mean, I guess there's that much business. I guess good for the Italians.
Well, I mean, or that's how United's getting the Illy over here.
They just ship it as cargo, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Free shipping.
Just throw it into the belly.
Yeah. So there's.
The other thing about the Seoul thing, which could be possible, is that Delta is living up to its threat of if they didn't get Haneda slots and just now going to move everything to Seoul.
You think they'll do that?
I'm just making crap up. I wouldn't be surprised.
I mean, if they move Portland Narita to Portland Seoul, that kills Nike traffic right out the gate.
Are the Nike people going to Tokyo, or are they going beyond?
I guess some. I mean, some definitely go. There's a big Nike office in Tokyo. Some definitely connect on to places where they manufacture.
Yeah, because I imagine the factories are not in Tokyo, so I imagine a lot of the traffic is going beyond. So it doesn't matter where you connect.
True. Yeah, and if it's somewhere that Korean flies that maybe Delta didn't fly out of Tokyo, it's good.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot more options on Korean to other destinations than Delta has out of Tokyo.
True, yeah. The other thing that's happening is that AA is dropping a bunch of routes. They're dropping Philadelphia-Brussels, Philadelphia-Zurich, JFK-Birmingham, and Chicago-Dusseldorf are all going away. Interesting.
And I think you one of your friends also noted Dallas De Gaulle goes seasonal now.
Yeah. A friend of mine was originally scheduled on DFW Paris, and it actually started going seasonal and doesn't operate every day. Starting next month, basically.
Yeah, I had a reservation on that, and I got moved to Miami.
Yeah, and his biggest issue was that they all got split up. He was with a big group of people, and they all got split up. And American really gave him a lot of hard time about getting back on the flights that he wanted to be on. And so eventually at work, it got sorted out. But he just wanted to, they had infants with him, and so they all wanted to be together.
That makes sense. But, and you would think the airline would want to keep all the kids together rather than scattering them.
You'd think so. What do you think, though, about Chicago-Dusseldorf? You think that's because Air Berlin? I think Air Berlin flies that route.
Yeah, I mean, United used to fly that route a long, long time ago.
Well, and Lufthansa flies Newark-Dusseldorf. They don't fly Chicago-Dusseldorf.
Correct.
So I think business traffic in and out of Dusseldorf has kind of dropped off. But I wonder if it's because they've said, hey, Air Berlin has enough lift for that route, so we're not going to add anything else. We'll just take away our flight.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much business is actually down in Dusseldorf.
There's some banking stuff there. There's not a ton. I don't really know why. I mean, there's so much traffic there. It's not a huge city. I mean, it's big, but it's not massive. So I don't know. I mean, you have to think about where it's at. Right? It's on the Rhine River in the north, and so there was shipping and manufacturing and things there. But I mean, it's a city of. I'm reading this real quick. It's a city in the urban area. It's 1.2 million, and the entire metro, it's about 11 million. So there's a lot of people there. It's a decently sized market.
Yeah.
And then JFK Birmingham, that's a strange one. I'm guessing this has to do with Brexit a little bit. But it seems odd that they would drop that. I mean, they've had that route around for a while.
Brexit, I don't understand because everyone's adding lift. Well, not everyone, not Delta, but American and United are adding a lift into London during Brexit, which I'm confused by. I mean, does that make sense to you?
No, it doesn't.
And American, I kind of get because they can send traffic onward. But United, I definitely don't understand because most of it's O&D.
Yeah, it's strange. And so do you think – you don't think Americans – I mean, Americans adding lift to London, but they're not – you see with JFK Birmingham, they're saying forget it. We just don't want to be there.
But how much – I mean, how much traffic did they drive to Birmingham? I didn't even realize they flew JFK Birmingham, honestly.
Isn't it a 752?
Yeah. Because I think they also do JFK Manchester.
Yeah. And United has Newark Birmingham, right?
Right. And Birmingham is not really to connect. You basically have to go through customs. There's no easy way to connect. So it's really just O&D traffic.
Interesting. And then Philadelphia, Brussels, and Zurich, both a little – I mean, Brussels we kind of understand because there's been some serious cutbacks to Brussels after the attacks.
Philadelphia, Brussels, I understand because it is on this old US Air 752.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised that in this batch they didn't drop Philadelphia, Amsterdam as well because that's also done by a 752. And those things are getting long in the tooth. Zurich, they fly – but the interesting thing is with them dropping Brussels, Philadelphia, Brussels, they no longer have any service to Brussels.
Yeah, Because DFW is going away as well, right? At least seasonally, right?
No, DFW Brussels doesn't even exist.
Oh, I thought they were flying that.
Not that I know of.
So were they flying Chicago Brussels? And that's
no, Legacy pre-merger AA didn't have Brussels routes.
Okay, gotcha.
And they fly JFK Zurich, so they probably don't need the lift from both JFK and Philadelphia.
JFK, yeah, okay, yeah, it makes sense. And with Zurich, I mean, it's funny to me because I like to watch flight radar with American, like I like to like single out each airline and kind of just see like their nightly lift over the Atlantic. And American just strikes me as like the, when we talked about this before, it's just like the least, I don't know, least Atlantic carrier major out of the three.
I mean, US Air definitely helped them change that. But prior to that, I mean, think about it. The only places they flew was London, Paris, Frankfurt.
Yeah.
And Zurich.
Yeah.
Right? And these oddballs like to Dublin or Birmingham or Manchester, which weren't always consistent.
Yeah.
And Dusseldorf.
Yeah.
But that was about it.
And so now you have, you know, a few more flights, but not a ton, and they're dropping these. Do you think they're going to add anything new? Do you think that they'll, you know, as the 787s, they get more of them, do you think they'll add stuff? Or do you think they're focused now on Asia, which it seems like they kind of are, Asia and the Pacific?
But where else do they need to go in Asia? They've got Seoul, they've got Hong Kong, they've got Tokyo.
I don't know. Didn't they just start L.A., Hong Kong, too?
Yeah. So they have two flights to Hong Kong, they have a bunch of flights to Tokyo. I mean, are they, you know, they have Beijing, they have Shanghai. I mean, are they finally going to start the Philadelphia-Beijing that U.S. Air never started?
Well, and see, I don't understand the – we talked about the L.A.-Hong Kong route. I never understood why they want to fly that. Is there that much of a loyal base from Los Angeles – to go to Hong Kong that doesn't want to fly Cathay?
I think this is just – I don't think it'll be a long-term survivor. I mean, remember, United tried that at 1.2. They ran it for a while and it didn't – they killed it.
Yeah, yeah. It's crazy. And then you mentioned what's starting DFW Amsterdam, right?
DFW Amsterdam, which I don't understand that one either.
I mean, there's some business traffic to Amsterdam, right?
Oh, absolutely. There's business traffic to Amsterdam, but I'm not sure how much there's between DFW and Amsterdam itself. But you have, you know, you've got United flying Houston, Amsterdam, and why not fly from Chicago or JFK where you can connect more people?
Do you think they connect more people to those places? I guess Chicago they probably do because their operation is so large. But I mean, DFW, they basically own the airport.
Right, but you can only really access half the country that way.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Right. It's really people west of DFW and north to a certain amount that'll fly to DFW to connect there. Whereas if you moved it further east, you'd be able to get more feed from a broader swath.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to see. I don't think, yeah, it's true. KLM doesn't fly DFW Amsterdam. They used to, I believe.
Right.
And they don't anymore. So that's interesting.
Or upgauge Philadelphia Amsterdam.
True. Yep. Yeah, it seems like some odd choices. Kirby leaves and things get weird.
Well, Doogie's at the helm, so what did we really expect?
And so I think our destination, since we've talked about Seoul a bunch, we should actually make the destination Seoul. And I think we've actually had a show in the past. I didn't have time to do a search before the show about Seoul. But I like Seoul, and there's actually some decent business class fares out of the United States to Seoul for the next few months. On most of the carriers, I think. SkyTeam, Star Alliance, and Oneworld.
What do you think the cause of the fare drop is?
I don't know. There's nothing going on, and there hasn't been any big news out of South Korea.
I mean, do you think this is all fallout from the Note 7s exploding?
I was going to say, it could be. Samsung's just like, well, economy's going to go to crap now. Might as well start selling cheap tickets. I don't know. I think it doesn't look like it's a sale because the fares are valid for so long. But it's worth it. But I like Seoul. Have you been?
I have. It's a nice city. I've spent a chunk of time there. It's been a while since I've been there.
It's huge. I mean, it's massive.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of overwhelming. We took the train in when we went. I went with Seth and another friend and took the train in and just kind of walked around the city. We went to the old the original fabrics market. There's a huge fabrics store that's like all, everything that to do with making clothing in the clothing district. And that's kind of cool. I mean, it's like six stories. It's like a maze. The food is awesome. I don't know. I like Seoul. I was talking to my wife the other day about I would definitely go back to Seoul in a heartbeat.
Well, now you've got the fare to do it.
And I've got the fare to do it. So maybe we should just do that. That's what we should do. We should just all go to Seoul together.
But we're going to Hong Kong.
That's true. Maybe. I'm going. We'll see.
bailing already?
No, no, not going to bail. How many times have you actually been to Seoul?
3, 4?
Oh, wow. Just as a jumping off point, or were you actually visiting the city, or were you going to other places?
I went once to actually visit, because I had a friend who was doing working there for a while, so I went to visit her. But other times it was when, like, what was it, 2, 3 years ago when Delta, when AA had those ridiculous Seoul fares, I was doing those for the miles.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Yeah, it's a fascinating city. Really nice airport. They don't turn the AC on there in that thing, though. I can say that.
It's one of the only standing Bennigans that I know of.
Really?
Yes. There's a Bennigans in the Incheon Airport. Or was, at least, last time I was there.
Man, you know, the weather was so bad the one day we were there. It just poured and poured and poured. And we had planned to go to the DMZ while we were there. And it's like, well, we don't really want to be outside in a thunderstorm. And so we're like, well, what can we do? And the weather was clear down in Busan.
Okay.
And so we actually considered booking like just like a day trip down to Busan because they were flying 747 combis, Korean was.
So nice.
We were like, why not? And we ended up not doing it. But it would have been fun.
You could have probably flown from Gimpo too.
Yeah, exactly. It was Gimpo to Busan,
oh,
which would have been just fantastic.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I got to go back because I want to fly out of Gimpo. And I enjoy the city. And I think if our listeners, I'm sure our listeners have some suggestions on what to do in Seoul, but we had Korean barbecue. We actually ran into someone we know in the frequent flyer world while we're there. I had no idea he was going to be there. And he saw that we were there and was texting us and said, you guys want to meet up for Korean barbecue? And we had this awesome dinner in a Korean barbecue family restaurant. We were the only Americans in the restaurant, and it was fantastic.
Nice. Now, the one thing I do remember about Korea is don't try to buy clothes there.
No, why not?
As an American.
Too small?
Yes. So I was traveling at some point and I only had one pair of jeans, or I spilled something on them and I'm like, okay, I'll just go buy another pair. Pulled the largest thing off the shelf, and I'm not that big of a person. I pulled the largest thing, I'm like, yeah, like I tried, wasn't even getting myself into it anywhere close. I'm like, okay, need to go to plan B now.
Oh, man. Well, I think if our listeners have any suggestions or things you love to do in Seoul, we'd love to hear them. I think it's a great destination, so we'll try to put a picture up. Maybe Seth can find one.
Or Busan.
Yeah, I'd love to go to Busan. I think on the last topic, and probably the one that's going to take up a little bit of time, is the Chase Sapphire Reserve. And we didn't talk about it on any of the previous shows, really. Didn't really even mention it. And it's out now. The hype train has left the building, and the card has been delivered to people who are writing about it, and people are using it. And do you have one?
I do. I have a temporary card. I do not have my permanent card yet.
Because they ran out of the metal to make them?
Yes.
Ah.
Ran out of the metal, so I got a plastic one with a little note saying, due to overwhelming demand, this is just a temporary card.
Well, and Seth, we'll have to talk to Seth next time he's on the show and ask him, because he actually went to a branch, filled out the application, and was like one of the first people to do it, and got the card like the next day. He didn't think he'd get the card in time.
Mine was overnighted as well, and I had a friend who went into a branch to apply. He asked if he could overnight. He's like, no, that's not possible, and they overnighted anyway. So I think they're just overnighting all of them.
Wow. Interesting.
At least they didn't pull a city. When I got my city prestige card, they overnighted me a letter saying, we're sending you your card overnight.
Your check is in the mail. Thank you.
Okay. So the first day the letter arrived announcing it, and then the next day the card arrived.
Wow. Wow. So do you like the card so far? I mean, you're going to, of course, try to get the minimum spend with it, so you're probably making it your primary card right now.
Yeah, that's not going to be a problem. I mean, it's fine. It's another credit card.
Yeah.
It'll get me 100,000 points. I mean, I'll get rid of the preferred, because there's no point in keeping both of them.
Yeah.
But it's pretty much a wash after the $300 airline credit, which, by the way, parking counts as travel credit.
Really?
I had a $1 charge at a parking meter at the Jersey Shore, and they credited me the dollar.
Well, then.
I saw that today. I'm like, what? Okay, I'm not even going to try to understand this one.
So is the credit for travel in general, or is it only for airline stuff?
I thought it was airline.
That's what I thought, too. So it sounds like it's a travel credit, really, for any kind of travel-marked expense.
For now, unless it's a bank error and it'll get resolved.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, do you think the hype over the card is overdone? I mean, we of course know that there's a big push to get people to sign up for cards and stuff. But do you think this card seems like it has some really good benefits, especially the 100,000 points for the sign-up bonus? I mean, that's very intriguing.
Okay, so aside from the 100,000-mile bonus, what do you think is worth about the card?
Well, I mean, you get the GE credit, which you only can use that once every 10 years. But, I mean, that's nice.
Okay. And how many credit cards do you have that already offer that to you?
None.
Okay.
What else? I mean, Priority Pass, I guess, is nice, but it doesn't really work in the United States, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's a couple of lounges, but it's about it. Yeah.
To me, the biggest plus then is the 3X on travel.
And that's huge. I mean, there's no doubt about it. But I'm not sure. Like, if you use a $300 airline credit, it's probably a no-brainer to go from the CSP to the CSR.
Yeah.
If you don't do that, I don't think it's worth it. Outside of the bonus.
So do you think then that the 3X on I guess you'd have to do the math. For the spend of the card to actually have the yearly membership fee for the card, you'd have to do the math on what that's worth versus the 3X that you earn on – is it travel and dining I think you earn 3.3 times the points on?
I think so.
So 3 points per dollar. You'd have to do the math on that and how much you're spending a year at restaurants and on travel. And if you're doing a decent amount of that, then I could totally see the card being – as long as you come out on top in that way.
Yeah, but I think for a lot of people it's going to be a wash.
Yeah, yeah. I have a random question for you. Do you still have your United?
I do.
The United, what was it called? Presidential Plus is what it used to be, and it's now the United
Mileage Plus. Yeah, I have the Mileage Plus.
I have mine as well, and I think I would question the utility of it as well now because of the membership fee, and I don't use it that often. Like I really don't.
See, I do use it for the lounges.
Well, I mean, I use it for the lounge, but what I'm saying is I don't use it to like buy things because with Chase Sapphire Preferred, I'm earning more points per dollar on a United ticket than I do with the United card itself.
That's a good point. I haven't really thought about that.
So it's like to me, okay, the lounges are nice, but and especially this past year, I haven't really been using them. So is the lounge worth that fee? Probably not. I see your point about the Chase.
But you're traveling a lot less than I am.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, back when I was traveling, it was great to have.
And it's my sanctuary away from OTG.
Yeah.
Either way, they're going to get me.
So then do you think that people – do you think that the card was kind of overhyped a little bit?
I think the card was overhyped because when you think about it, when you compare it to the City Prestige, right?
Yeah.
And granted, they've devalued some of it. But City Prestige has the fourth hotel night free, right? So that's a pretty big deal. You get a $250 airline credit, so 50 bucks less. But that hotel benefit's huge if you stay for four nights, right? So I know people who use it pretty religiously. And you know, and what changes, the old way was, it was whatever the fourth night charge was would be free. So if you got a four nights where the first three nights were 100 and the last night was 500 because it was a rate change, they would actually pay the 500. With the changes that go into effect next July, it's an average rate. So they give you the average of whatever across the four nights. And then the other thing that changes next July is, which, you know, what was one of the really big perks was that you got access to all the AA lounges.
Gotcha.
So same annual fee. So the Prestige, I think, had a much more – and you get the Priority Pass Select with the Prestige as well, so you had a pretty well-rounded set of benefits. So it'll be interesting to see if City tries to up the game by adding some more benefits to replace the AA Lounge or what they do. But so I feel like the CSR is lacking in some ways.
Yeah, I think if if they had something like the Centurion Lounge, like American Express does, then it would be a much more compelling argument.
But they have the lounge at the Short Hills Mall around Christmas time.
Yay. I think going to the lounge in a mall is probably the perfect definition of hell for me.
During holiday season?
Yeah, like just going to the mall, the fact that I had to be at the mall, that's in the dictionary with my picture next to it, then personal hell next to that. I think you're right. Like, it's probably overhyped. I probably will end up getting it at some point just for the bonus. Will I keep it past the first year? I don't know. Maybe.
Honestly, if you use the $300 airline credit, it'll probably be a wash. Between that and the CSP.
Yeah, yeah. I really I haven't taken advantage of my UR points yet, really. And I have a lot, but I just haven't used them. I have so many United miles that I just use those instead. So, but I think I might redeem for Singapore Air.
I have UR points and membership rewards points out the wazoo just sitting there.
Yeah, we should burn. We should burn, baby, burn.
And do what with them?
I don't know. Something fun.
That's out. Those, and I still have tons of miles in all the programs and hotel points.
Don't you need a vacation? You need a vacation.
My life is a vacation.
Well, so you and I are leading different lives.
Hence why my desire for Wave Runner has come up.
Oh yeah, let's talk about that. So you had a weekend where a Wave Runner was involved.
I had a day where a Wave Runner was involved last week, where my coworker and I played hooky. So he bought Wave Runners this year, and he's been talking about them all summer and saying we need to go down to my beach house. So last week we had a day where our meetings got canceled, so we did that. And it was a lot of fun. And you get pretty tired, but you don't realize it. So the next day, I got up, and I was sore everywhere. It is amazing what riding at 60 miles an hour with no windscreen will do to your chest and your legs.
Just feel beat up.
Oh, everything was sore. But it was a lot of fun, and I would do it again in a heartbeat.
Yeah. And so would you do this? Do you like the speed? Is that what got you? Or was it the adrenaline rush or what?
The speed, the adrenaline rush, just being out on the water playing.
And so you were in the ocean doing this?
We started in the bay and we went out to the ocean and spent an hour in the ocean and then came back and then, did circles in the bay.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
That'd be a lot of fun. I mean, you could do that. You could do that on land, though. You could just get a motorcycle.
I think a motorcycle's a little more, a little riskier.
Just because you have other people involved around you driving, doing the same, not seeing motorcycles driving down the road and getting into their lane and things like that.
I have a motorcycle license. I've ridden a motorcycle. I see what the people in cars do.
Yeah. Why do you have a motorcycle license?
Because when I lived in San Diego, at one point was going to get a scooter to scoot around downtown in California. You need a motorcycle license, a class one license. And at that point, I'm like, well, I'll do the whole thing. So I could get a motorcycle, and I just never get around to it.
You are a renaissance. You're a modern-day renaissance man. I had no idea, Foz.
Yeah.
You were just man about town.
So you got to do something. Something to keep myself busy once in a while.
Yeah. Well, man, it's been fun. I think we'll wrap up the show. So, listeners, you can find us online at moredotsmorelines.com. You can find us on Twitter at dotslines. You can leave us a comment on iTunes. We're on YouTube. You can find us pretty much anywhere. I think we're in the Android Play Store, I think is what it's called. Seth mentioned that. So leave us a comment. Tweet us. Love to hear from you. Thanks for listening, and happy travels. Bye-bye.
Take care.